11 o'clock hour, Church of Football hour on Sports Radio 92 on the game on our first Falcons football Sunday of the year. I'm going to call it that, even though it hasn't begun yet. A reminder here to all of you that as Falcons camp opens on Wednesday and the rookies and veterans report, the camp this year is closed to fans because of all the construction going on in Flowery Branch. There will be two open practices, one at Second Year High, one at, in Gwinnett County, one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As we get close to those, just stay here. We'll be walking you through all of that about how to attend and how to be part of it here. I would imagine that the one at Second Year High is going to be packed, okay? Packed. And so I would advise you, just kind of an early heads up here, that if you're thinking of going to that practice, that you arrive, think of arriving really early, because I think it's probably going to be overflow for that practice. Because everybody excited to see Raheem Morris, I am, and all the new players, and you know what is we anticipate it's going to be a fun season around here. You know, as long as you stay healthy, and that's 90% of the battle, it seems, in the NFL. If you stay healthy, it's a game of attrition, a war of attrition, especially over 18 weeks. So if you can stay healthy, that's a big plus, obviously, because, you know, NFL is largely about two things, star players and health, because if you don't have star players, you don't do much, and if you don't stay healthy, you don't do much. I mean, so you got to have both. And the Falcons, as long as they stay healthy, they got plenty of star players. You start thinking about this team and how many guys are potentially, you know, Pro Bowl, All-Pro kind of guys, Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell, Grady Jarrett, you know, David Onyemata, you know, who knows? I mean, what kind of a year does Troy Anderson have? Does he even start? I mean, you know, what kind of a year does, Zach Harrison have? That's just on the defense here. And, of course, on the offensive side, there's a whole bundle of them, right? I mean, Drake and Bijan and Kyle and Tyler and Cousins and maybe Penix, who knows? And all the offensive linemen, you know, could potentially be Pro Bowlers. So the Falcons are a loaded team, especially on offense. So everybody's excited here. So three questions out there for you at 404-726-0929. Answer any of the three. Answer all three. Don't answer any of them. Go off the board. Talk Hawks and Braves. Whatever you want to do. Talk a little college football. That's fine. We could jump into all that. Oh, that's another thing going on this week, by the way. Big Ten Media Days. I do want to mention that, too. I want to throw that into the mix because tomorrow or Tuesday, I don't have the schedule of Big Ten Media Days in front of me. Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, will open Big Ten Media Days like Greg Sankey does with the SEC. It will be, forget about anything Ryan Day or Sharon Moore, James Franklin, Luke Fickell, even, you know, Dan Lanning or anybody out west, Jed Fish, any of the coaches say. It's the most important thing to watch for at Big Ten Media Days is Tony Petitti, the commissioner. Does he say and echo what Greg Sankey said? I want all of you to understand the Big Ten and the SEC are talking. They're talking about a merger, all right? And this would be Super Conference. And they're discussing, because there's so much to go on there, and they've been meeting and they've been discussing, because they have to talk about so many different things. Things like, how do you pay the players? Who represents the players? How do you collectively bargain? How do we handle the playoffs? Because it's 12 teams this year, going to go to 16 next year. Or the year after, because it is going to 16. How many teams do we invite into this? How do we split up the television revenue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So there's so much to work through here. And so they're beginning to, you know, meet and have these meetings and discussions about how they handle this. And we're not going to get to that super conference until Florida State and Clemson get the divorce finalized by the courts, because they're in court suing for divorce. Once the divorce happens and the ACC kind of breaks apart, that's when we can get to inviting those teams in. The Big 12 will disintegrate overnight. The Big 12 is hanging by a thread anyway. It's just a makeshift kind of conference, a holding conference. And it all kind of comes into one big happy family. And that's what I want as a college football fan. It's what you should want as a college football fan. So does Tony Petitti say things that echo what Greg Sankey said? For example, one of the things Greg Sankey talked about was, oh, we're happy at 16 teams. It's where we are. You know, when asked about Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina. And then he talked about contiguous. They're big into contiguous. I know that's a big word for all of you down in the swamp. It means, you know, connected to. And so when you get Texas and Oklahoma, they're in their contiguous states. Well, of course they are, because there's a team in Texas already in the league, and then Texas borders Oklahoma, so it and Oklahoma is connected to Florida by virtue of the fact that they're all contiguous. Whereas, like California and the Big Ten is nowhere connected to New Jersey. Pardon me. Nowhere connected to New Jersey. And so what are states that are contiguous to the SEC? Well, Florida, of course, because it's already there. South Carolina, of course, it's already there. North Carolina is contiguous because it's connected to South Carolina. It's also connected to Tennessee, also connected to Georgia and Virginia, which is connected to Tennessee and North Carolina. So, you know, that's where they're looking. What he's basically saying is contiguous states, when he used that term, he's going, yeah, we'd be interested in North Carolina and Virginia Tech and maybe NC State and Clemson and Florida State and Miami and maybe Georgia Tech. In other words, yeah, we could go to 24. Because, again, it's just holding, okay, guys and gals. It's about holding patterns, you know, holding patterns until we can get everybody together and say, okay, what's going to happen now? How are we going to form Super Conference? And when they do, by the way, one of the cool things that's going to happen when they get to 60, 70, even 80 teams, when they get to those, they're going to break apart all the divisions, and everybody's going to go back home. And there will be a Pacific 10, there'll be a Big 10 of 10 teams, there'll be an SEC of 10 teams. The Southwest Conference will reform. I mean, 10 teams, all these 10-team leagues. And it'll be divisions. It'll be, you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And Georgia will no longer be in a division with Texas A&M, Texas, and Oklahoma. This is only temporary. Boys and girls, it's just temporary, okay? It's just temporary. There'll be an ACC, by the way. So Jim Phillips will have an Atlantic Coast division. And it'll be the ACC. It just won't be a separate conference. That's all. 404-726-0929 is the number here. So three questions. What sport in the Olympics are you most interested in watching this year? And that's just you. I mean, if you're interested in rugby, like Abe Gordon might be interested in, he's a big rugby guy. And that's fine. I'm just kind of curious. Falcons breakout star this year will be, because CBS says it's going to be Drake London. I don't think it's Bijan, because I don't think Bijan breaking out. I think he's the second best running back in the NFL. So if he has the second best running back in the NFL year, that's not breakout to me. That's just Bijan being Bijan. Okay? That's who I think he is. I don't know that Kyle Pitts having over 1,000 yards receiving and 7 or 8 touchdowns is a breakout. I think that's just kind of who he is. So I can see why you would say maybe it's Drake London really breaking into that top tier of receivers. And that could well be. I have a sense that the breakout star might be Arnold Ebikadie. And I think this pass rush camp that he went to indicates that Arnold Ebikadie, who started to show, he started to flash a little bit. Because Zach Harrison is somebody you have to get. If you're a quarterback, the way Zach Harrison played at the end of the year, you're going, oh, now you got Braylon Trice. I think this Falcons pass rush might be much better than you think it's going to be. That's my hope. Okay? 404-726-0929. Of course, the third question is, are we as Falcons fans going to have a problem here? Because Michael Penix is about to hit camp. He's about to hit preseason. He's about to show out. And I got a feeling there are going to be a lot of Falcons fans who are going to say, like this Nick Papa Giorgio, who said, I said, I hope we don't see Penix until 2026. And he said, John, that's not happening. Cousins' history with big wins, lack thereof, age 36 next month, other factors don't support that happening. That meaning Penix will be on the bench. They drafted him for a reason. Cousins is not going to start every game this season for one reason or another. Are you kind of hoping for that a little bit? Are you thinking we're going to have a problem here? We played two quarterbacks the last couple of years. You know, Arthur Smith played, you know, Noodle Arm and DoorDash, then DoorDash and Heinicke. So I'm just wondering how you think this might work in terms of are we going to have a problem at quarterback here? That's a little bit different because it's a problem of both are really good. 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to weigh in here on this Sunday. Let's go to and begin with Kirk, who joins us. Hey, Kirk, welcome to the program.
You mentioned one thing that you lost out, Muhammad Ali. In the Olympics. You said you're an Olympic boxer. You loved it. But you're missing Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I didn't see. He was Cassius Clay. That was 64, I think, or 60. Right. I didn't see him.
That's all.
I'm not leaving him out. I just was talking about people I'd see.
Yeah. And that's the Olympic boxing. Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. And you gave a lot of them that they stole from. But you didn't never mention Cassius Clay. being in the Olympics boxing.
Yeah, well, Kirk, I did it because I didn't see him.
That's all good. I mean, no problem.
Oh, okay. I didn't leave him out. I was just saying people that I saw, I didn't start till 68. Ali obviously was.
You do not.
No, I appreciate it, Kirk. But, no, you're absolutely right. How about this, Kirk? Is Ali's lighting of the flame ever going to be topped? Is Muhammad Ali's of the flame?
You're real. You come from the truth. You speak your mind and you're real. I just wanted to just talk to Muhammad Ali.
No, it's great. Hey, so let's talk about that for a second, though, because I have two questions for you. Will Muhammad Ali's lighting of the torch in Atlanta in 96 ever be topped by another torch lighting?
Yeah, but that was in the Olympic boxing, where you were talking about Olympic boxing and all that stuff that I was just thinking about. You didn't mention him.
You're not wrong. I mean, he certainly blew up in that, and that was where we first got a real good look at him.
It's no problem. You know, like I said, you gave me, like you said, our conversation is, when I was listening, I listened to you on the radio, and you say, you are our audience. You are, when you said that to me, it was very important.
Well, you are my audience. I mean, you're my friend. I mean, you're a fan. By the way, can I ask you another question here? Well, so what are you looking forward to the Olympics this year, Kirk?
Well, actually, I am, because I ran track in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see the U.S. track team. I'm a 4x4 man. I remember we dropped the punt for the time a couple of times. I want to see them eventually beat Jamaica.
Yeah. Jamaica's pretty good. Not going to lie.
Jamaica's always good. Because one thing we have done in our sport, we got overseas and we start teaching people how to be better. And it comes back. It does come back. I mean, if you look at every sport the United States go to, except soccer. Soccer's never, because we've never been a soccer team. I mean, sport. But we're going to have football. We got baseball. We got people that play baseball that's better than us because we teach people. We got basketball overseas. And then we got more basketball players over here than white or black, because we are international. There's nothing wrong with it, but you got to be understandable about it. The USA...
I don't disagree, Kirk. And that is us, and I appreciate the call here at 404-726-0929. I hope you have a great day here. Yeah, well, that's just the influence of America on the culture of the world. I mean, we influence the culture of the world in a lot of ways. It's Hollywood, it's sports, it's a lot of ways that... because we are the United States of America. We still are. Despite everything that's going on, we're still the United States of America, and the world looks to us, and they want to mimic us. They want to be us. And so in most cases, maybe not in some countries in the Middle East, but in most cases, I mean, even Iran wants to be us. Iran wants to be Western. The leadership doesn't, but the people of Iran do. So they want to be us. And so and by the way, that's what I've said about, soccer is the number one sport in the world, but basketball is starting to catch up. It's the number two sport in the world. And the influence of European players, boy, we're going to have to up our, the funny thing is, we're going to have to up our basketball game, because we're going to get to a point, and we're starting to get there quickly, where the European, you can put together a European team that's better than the American team. And now, that might already be the case. If you look at, you could put together a team that, let's just start with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jokic, and Doncic. I mean, just those three. that's a pretty good start. If that's your front line, who do you got up? Who's your 3, 4, and 5? Well, it's Doncic, it's Jokic, and it's Antetokounmpo. Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. 404-726-0929. Thank you. And by the way, I wasn't, skirting. I didn't want him to think I was skirting Cassius Clay. I just didn't see him. It predated me. That's all. 404-726-0929. So let's talk Falcons fans here. Are we going to have a problem with this quarterback? Do you think that we're going to have, because I have a sense that Michael Penix is going to show out, and all of you who have, maybe a lot of you who have never seen him play, and you're going to see this guy and go, oh my God, this guy's really good, isn't he? Yeah, he really good. Sports Radio 92 on the game. Live from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you on this Church of Football Hour, Sunday, 11:22 in the morning. And all of you, welcome to join the conversation. You are my guest on this show at 404-726-0929. We're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Camp opens this week. A question about the Olympics. What are you most looking forward to in terms of a sport in the Olympics? A couple of Falcons questions that you could jump in on. Who's going to be the breakout star this year? And this question about the tweet that I had about the quarterbacking situation. Are we going to have a problem with Falcons fans falling in love with Michael Penix so much that they're going to be screaming here on the radio and online, do you have Penix start the season at quarterback? I hope not, but I think so. because I think you're going to, first off, I think you're going to fall in love with Michael Penix. 404-726-0929 is the number. I mentioned right before the break, I wanted Eric Slaughter to bring up, because he hadn't seen it yet. This goes to the point about how basketball has gone so international. If I say to you, basketball in Canada, you go, basketball in Canada? I mean, what do they have in Canada? They got, what do they have there? They have hockey. They have like 110-yard football fields. They have crawlers. They have Labatt's, right? I mean, they got a prime minister nobody likes. I mean, what do they got in Canada, right? But they got a basketball team. And you pull this team up, Eric, and I want people to understand, when you start reading the names of the Canadian-born players that are on this team that are going to Paris, and you realize, oh, my God, they can medal.
It's an NBA All-Star team. It's definitely an NBA All-Star team.
Yeah, all right, so give me, like, pick five or six. Now, this is the Canadian team he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to see it. Pick five or six of the biggest names on there.
All right, well, first off, you're starting with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was he runner-up for MVP in the NBA this year? Or, I mean, he was a top three MVP candidate, correct?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Then we're going to go with Dylan Brooks, who was a great player at Oregon and is a really good two-way guard in the NBA. Next, I'll go with Kelly Olynyk. Been in the NBA for years, big center for the Celtics, and I'm not sure who he plays for now, but a defensive player, can rebound.
Yeah, can play. Kelly Olynyk can play, right?
Can shoot three, played Miami Heat, played for them for a little while. I'll go with your guy, the young guy, Zach Edey, Purdue, first-round draft pick. 7 feet four, could be the man in the middle.
My guy.
Well, okay, I mean, but you're a Big Ten guy, so – you know,
yeah, but he's not my. He's a Purdue guy.
He's a Purdue guy. Nobody likes Purdue. But okay, sorry, John. Yeah. But yeah,
nobody likes Purdue.
And then I'll end it with R.J. Barrett.
I know, right? How about that?
Do you know Nick? Was he still with the Knicks? Who's he with now? But still, first round draft pick.
Think about that team.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That could be your start.
They don't play basketball in Canada. Mm. SGA, R.J. Barrett, Olynyk, just the five you mentioned. You know, I mean,
and you can bring you can bring Dwight Powell off the bench, who is a good NBA player. Kyle Alexander, who's had a nice little run in the NBA, and let's not forget Dr. James Naismith was the Canadian.
Yes, he was, but that's not the point here. Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean,
they like to claim it. Hey, listen, we founded hockey and basketball. Okay, all right, I know. I mean, it's just you got to have something up there. 404-726-0929. That's neither here nor there. I just wanted to show you.
No, they got a squad.
Reach and breath about how suddenly you started looking around and you go Canada basketball and you go, oh my God, you know, I mean that, yeah.
And
so now that's why I say, when you say, you know, you're going to start with the non-United States, the foreign team, and you go, okay, we got Freak, we got Jokic, we got Doncic, everybody looks at Europe, and you go, oh, wait, you got SGA too, and now you got R.J. Barrett, and you're, oh, my God, that team can beat the best. Oh, my God.
and they have an NBA head coach running the team. The head coach of the Brooklyn Nets is the head coach of the Canadian national team.
Yeah, I think they can medal. It'll be interesting. Serbia's going to be really good. Serbia's got Jokic. They got Bogey on their team. Obviously, Greece has got they've got Antetokounmpo and handed together. It's like Giannis has his, like, nine brothers on the team. It's sort of like the Bucks. So anyway, 404-726-0929. Want to hear from all of you. There's the Olympic question that's out there. What are you most looking forward to? The Olympics competition begins Wednesday. Opening ceremonies are Friday, but it opens on Wednesday. First competitions, rugby and soccer. Camp opens for the Falcons on Wednesday. Two Falcons questions, who's going to be the breakout star? And are we going to have a problem? Because I think we're going to have a problem. I really do think we're going to have a problem. I have had the good fortune in my life, and the reason I give Purdue a hard time is my beautiful bride Tammy is an IU grad. She's a Bloomington girl. She's made me into an IU fan, even though I went to Nebraska. I also root for the Hoosiers, two big Reds I got to kind of root for. It's like I root for one in basketball and one in football kind of thing. And so I became, over the last, especially, you know, 20-some-odd years, a really big Hoosier basketball fan, been to times, became friends with Tom Crean over the years. Tom and I are friendly, so personally friendly. So I'm big into the Hoosiers and basketball program. I think they could be pretty darn good this year. That's another exciting thing for me. But anyway, neither here nor there. Point is that if you start looking at the Falcons here, I saw Michael Penix play his first 3 years with IU because I watched all the football games too. And then his offensive coordinator was a guy named Kalen DeBoer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but Kalen DeBoer was the offensive coordinator in Indiana. And he became like the head coach at Washington. And he took Michael Penix with him to Washington and took what at Indiana under Tom Allen was a quarterback that they wanted to be Michael Vick, which was run, 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 and throw a little bit, to Washington. And they said, you're getting injured too much. We're going to let you run and beat people with your feet on occasion, but we are going to design a pocket passing for you. And he went to Washington and became a pocket passer. And then I don't know what happened to that DeBoer guy, but I know what happened to Penix. He came here. And I think that when they went, again, when they went to Washington to work him out the second time, when they went to Seattle in the private workout before the draft, they got on the plane and went, oh, my God, this guy is the best player in the draft. We think he's better than Caleb Williams. I think he might be better than Caleb Williams. I mean, this guy's going to be great. And you guys are going to realize, oh, we've got a problem. Because as good as Kirk Cousins is, and the best thing in the world, again, is for Michael Penix not to see the field this year. Because that means Kirk Cousins is killing it. Okay, killing it. And I want Kirk Cousins to kill it as the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. But I'm wondering, once you see him in preseason, that if we're going to have phone calls here. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Robert. Robert, welcome to the program. And everybody else holding on, be patient. I promise I will get to you. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Won't keep you long. The average NFL fan has seen Kirk play once or twice. They know what he's about. Guy's a gamer. But the average NFL fan or average Atlanta Falcon fan does not know Michael Penix. And I would love for the average Falcon fan to look up film on Michael Penix. The only thing that's going to, just my opinion, the only thing that's going to keep Michael Penix off of that field after 1 year is if Kirko goes out there and does not have at least a runner up for MVP season. He's going to at least have to duplicate what he did last year before injury, because Michael Penix, that guy didn't come here to sit. I'll give Kirk one solid year, and that's my fear of do you guys think the stress of that is going to get to Kirk and he's going to try to do
– Well, you know, I think that's a fair question.
Outside of the realm of what he normally does.
Hey, Robert, I think it's a fair question. I like to use the, you know, hey, listen, maybe the Falcons can get into a situation sort of like the Green Bay Packers were in, where you could start rolling through with your backup quarterback being the heir apparent, like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. But in the case of Aaron Rodgers backing up Brett Favre, there was a couple of things that were true. Brett Favre was still in the prime of his career, okay? Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years, and in the final year before they forced Favre out, Brett Favre was named the offensive MVP of the Green Bay Packers, and they still forced him out. And, of course, he ended up going to New York and eventually to Minnesota. And when he went to Minnesota, all he did was, if he doesn't throw an interception in the Superdome against the Swampers, the Saints don't ever get a Super Bowl title because Minnesota's going. And so he almost took the Vikings to the Super Bowl. And so with Aaron Rodgers, nobody was so – the Packers knew what they had, okay? The team knew what they had, and they were trying to force spread out. And the reason it became so divisive up there was because the fans didn't know what they had. They're going, why are we trying to force out the greatest quarterback we've ever had above Bart Starr in favor of a guy that who's been on the bench for 3 years? And the Packers are going, because this guy's that good. And they're going, yeah, we don't believe you. And, of course, it turned out he was that good. If Aaron Rodgers had not sat for 3 years behind Favre and had not been injured last year and had those four other years on his resume, we'd be talking about a guy who is pushing, you know, all-time marks of Drew Brees and Tom Brady for touchdowns and yards and everything else. I mean, you know, statistically, maybe the best quarterback in the history of the NFL, but he missed 4 years. And so, especially 3 years when he was young.
But I'm going to pray for Kirk. I wouldn't want to be him. I don't want that kind of stress in my life, but God bless Kirk and Michael Penix. I hope they both show out. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it, Robert. You know, and the other thing is, so the Packers fans didn't know, to finish that thought, what they had in Aaron Rodgers, okay? And they didn't – I don't know that they didn't trust what they had in Jordan Love. I still don't. I think Jordan Love strikes me as a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he's remotely in the universe of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. I could be wrong. 5 years from now, he could have a couple of Super Bowls, and I'll go, okay, I didn't expect that. I think he's a good NFL quarterback. I think he's a little bit overrated myself. When we put him in these lists of the 10 best quarterbacks, I'm like, eh, okay. I mean, all right, I got to see it. And the same is true of Penix. He hadn't played it down yet, obviously. So, but my point is that when – this is the reason I'm talking about this today. When you see him in the preseason, you're going to see what the Falcons saw. What I saw in his 5 years – in college for 5 years. What I saw in his 5 years of college, a gamer who is – man, his touch, he can throw. He's got the whole package. And you're going to go, wow. You can rest assured that when the Falcons selected Michael Penix, there was a palpable – inside the NFL – there was a palpable of, oh, wow, because there were teams behind the Falcons who go, oh, no, like the Raiders. Oh, no. You know, what do you – oh, man, why did we trade up? Because I think they all knew that – I think most of them knew that the Falcons got a steal and a half. And the Falcons know it because they went and worked him out again. They wanted to make sure they're – I guarantee you, there may be one quarterback in this draft that's better than Michael Penix. I don't know if that's Caleb Williams. I don't know if it's Drake May. I don't know, because I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if it's Daniels. Pretty sure it's not J.J. McCarthy. Guess it could be. But, I mean, given the choice of Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy, watching both of them, because I watch a lot of college football, it's like not even close. Okay? I mean, not even remotely close. Quick break, and then Tim, you're next, I promise, and more of you as well. Again, when you come on the program, and that's why I ask and I beg of you to be a little bit patient, because it's not just a drive-by. I have a conversation with you because you are my guest. We're going to have a problem here, because I think we're going to have a problem coming out of camp. I really do. On Sports Radio 99 The Game. Yeah, nice win for Atlanta United last night. Doubleheader. Literally, Braves played a doubleheader. Atlanta United played a doubleheader. Get it? How about Gregerson last night? 2-1 win over Columbus Crew. So good win for Atlanta United. The badly needed win for Atlanta United to beat the defending champions like that was a real pop for them. And again, the rest of this year is going to be what it is. But for Rob Valentino and his kind of audition as the head coach of Atlanta United, because he's in the mix, a nice victory. All right, your calls here. Three questions on the table. You can go off the board if you like. You can talk about Atlanta United, the Hawks, or the Braves, college football, if you want to jump in. But mostly Falcons today, a little bit of Olympics, too. What sport are you looking forward to the most in Olympics? Me, I'm looking forward to gymnastics. I'm really looking forward to both the men's and women's teams to see how they do in gymnastics. I'll be really disappointed if the women don't win gold, because I highly anticipate they will. And hopefully Simone Biles has a great Olympics Games again. It'll be interesting, with Sha'Carri and Noah Lyles and Simone Biles. Of course, the Olympics always gives us other stars that kind of develop. And I'm not just talking about, the stars that we know in basketball or in, golf or something like that, or tennis. I'm talking about, the other sports. Swimming gives us, somebody wins multiple golds kind of thing and gives us a big star. 404-726-0929. And the Falcons here. By the way, the Falcons thing, I should say before I get to Tim here, when I say they're going to have a problem coming out of camp, the team doesn't have a problem, okay? Kirk Cousins is the starter, all right? Kirk is the starter, all right? So it's not a problem for the team, and it's also not a bad problem to have if all of you are going, oh, my God, this Penix guy really is that good. He's got to start. He won't. And it's also not a bad thing that he'd say, oh, my God, he's that good, and we never see him. That's a, because when he got injured last year, Kirk Cousins was leading the NFL in literally every quarterback category. Touchdowns, passing yards, completion percentage, quarterback rating. I mean, he was having a first-team all-pro kind of season start last year, and then he got injured. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tim, who has been very patient, and I appreciate that. Hey, Tim.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I got a couple of things. The first thing is the beauty of the Olympics is it's the one chance everybody had to show up. Nobody cares about what the narrative was before. You got 2 weeks to be at your best, and we always get to see those who can perform and those who can't, because it's it. This is your one chance. You either do it or you don't. That's the best part about the Olympics. The second part is about the Falcons, and I'm going to say this, and I know you're not going to agree with it. I know that a lot of probably not all the listeners not going to agree with it. The Falcons are a, at best, 6-10 team. Nobody's going to care what Michael Penix does. Nobody's going to care what Kirk Cousins does when the team is fighting for third place in the worst division in the NFL.
All right, who's your team, Tim?
I'm always a player's guy. This year, I think Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl. I think Baltimore
is going to win. No, I didn't ask you that, Tim. I asked you who your team is.
I cheer for players. I don't cheer for teams.
Oh, no, stop it. Come on, don't hide behind that, Tim. Everybody cheers for a team.
Let me explain.
No, I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying any of this.
You don't have to buy it, John. It is what it is. The truth is...
No, you're making me mad. Tim, by the way, you're not... Okay, fine. I don't believe you, but okay. Tim, I'm not mad at you.
I believe. But the truth is, John, the truth is, when players... When there stops being loyalty between players and teams, when there's a dude that played for the... When Bobby Aimbert played for the Saints... And everybody in Atlanta hated him. And the next year he came to Atlanta, and everybody in Atlanta loved him. What I thought to myself is, at this point, it's never about the teams. People don't care about the teams. People care about the players. And that's my philosophy. You don't have to agree with it, but you can't deny
no,
it.
God, no, that's your philosophy. That's fine. I just wondered if you rooted for a team, and I guess the answer is no. Because
I don't,
you obviously,
but, like
obviously,
said,
obviously, you're not. I mean, Tim, you're not a Falcons fan. That's for sure.
And you know what it allows me to be? It allows me to be
honest
and objective
about what's going on. No, you can't say that. No, Tim, you can't stand on some high horse and think you're better than people. That ain't gonna happen.
I never said I was better. What I said is,
you're just about to say it. It allows me to be better than everybody else because I can stand on a podium and I can be unbiased.
What I said is it allows me to be objective. It allows me to come on the radio.
I see. You just did it.
I think Jesse Bates is the second or third best safety in the NFL, bar none. I can say for the last 10 years, I think Grady Jarrett has been the second best defensive tackle in the NFL behind.
All right, you're not telling me anything. Yeah, okay, so that's fine. You're not telling me anything I don't know.
Well,
of course, everybody shares those. But that's not, you're not stretching, Tim. Tim, you're not stretching for that. We all see that.
I can look and say Kirk Cousins, for his career, is 16-47 against winning teams. That's not my opinion. That's a fact.
That's not here. That was somewhere else.
He was
with the Washington Commanders, for crying out loud, with no talent around.
Tell me, that makes no
difference.
What about the Falcons makes you think all of a sudden Drake London is better than Justin Jefferson, who he played with?
Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the NFL. He's better than every running back not named McCaffrey.
Oh, says who? Says you?
Yes. Yes.
Just because you said, like I said, your opinions are your opinions. That don't make your opinions fact. The truth
no,
of the
well,
matter
my,
is...
No, well, my opinions are based in fact. I mean, I have been watching the NFL and covering the NFL. Opinion. Tim, I've been covering the NFL for 45 years. 45 years.
And I've been watching the NFL for
You've been watching the NFL. Okay, so we're
that doesn't make your opinion more valid than mine.
He doesn't realize I'm talking to him. I appreciate it, Tim. I appreciate your passion. No, I got to move on. I got other people here. I appreciate Tim's passion. I do. Just tweaking him. I've been following, but they're going to go 6-10. That's what he said, right, Tim? There are 17 games in season. Just okay. I mean, if we're going to predict records here, at least get the number of games right. They went 7-10, then they went 7-10, then they went 7-10, but somehow they're going to go 6-10 this year. Okay. Hey, look, could they go 6-11? Sure. How do they go 6-11? They get decimated by injuries. And that can happen. That can happen. Can happen to anybody. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs could go 6-11. No, they can't. There's no way. Okay, opening day, Patrick Mahomes breaks his leg, doesn't play for the rest of the year. Oh, that's right. They just went 6-11. Well, but they didn't have Patrick Mahomes. Well, that's not what I said. Okay? Everybody's looking at the Kansas City game in week three going, oh, that's a loss. What if Patrick Mahomes, and I don't wish this on him. I want Patrick to play all year. I want him to play the rest of his career. Injury-free. He's a special cat. Love watching him play. I can't wait to have him come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm just telling you, the NFL is a game where injuries happen. Okay? And the Falcons were decimated by injuries. Look who they lost last year. Right? This is what makes kind of what the Braves are doing somewhat impressive, because they lost, you know, a potential Cy Young winner and the MVP at the beginning of the year, right? I mean, pfft, gone. And so they're doing it without those two guys. So, you know, if they were to lose players, this is why Michael Penix, some people say he was drafted as a, you know, well, they drafted him to be an emergency backup. You know, it's a solution we haven't had in a while, which is, you know, since probably Matt Schaub, when Matt Schaub still had kind of his game. Remember Matt Schaub stepping in the one time that Matt Ryan got injured, and Schaub in one game he threw for like 411 yards. Of course, it didn't hurt that Matt Schaub had been the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons in his career. And he was a veteran backup, and of course Penix is not, which is one of the reasons that Taylor Heinicke is still on the team, by the way. It is entirely possible and plausible that Taylor Heinicke will break camp with this team, because just in case anything happens to Kirk Cousins, I want to brace you for this. This is the other part of the Penix story here that you haven't considered yet, and that is that Michael Penix goes out, shows out in the preseason here, and you're calling me up, and we got a problem. This guy's going to be great, which I think he's going to be great, but he's going to be great, and. Okay, well, if Kirk Cousins goes down, as this one tweeter said, then it's Penix time. Oh, no. I got news for you. Kirk Cousins goes down. The first guy up is not going to be Michael Penix. It's going to be Taylor Heinicke. Why would we do that? Because he's a veteran. He's a veteran quarterback. That's why. And he's played in the NFL. That's why. He'll be first up. Now, I don't know how he does. Why would he be any better? Well, he's got a better coaching staff. He's got a better scheme. You might be surprised how good he is in this scheme. He might do a lot better. Yes, we have two former Washington Redskins / Commanders, whatever the hell they're going to be. They're changing their nickname again. Did you know that? Yeah, they're going to do that. They said so. Redskins, Washington Football Team, Commanders, and now we don't know what they're going to be. So we got two former Redskins quarterbacks, or Washington Football Team or Commanders, whatever. And Michael Penix. So, yeah. Again, now Tim is just spouting off. I've been a football fan and watched for 35 years. Oh, congratulations. The Falcons are a third-place team. Okay. Obviously, you have no idea what you're talking about. There's a reason, Tim, that Raheem Morris is saying Super and Bowl out loud. Out loud. Because he looks at this team, the guy who was in charge of the passing game of the 2016 record-setting offense for the Atlanta Falcons, no matter how that ended, it did end in a Super Bowl, poorly in the game itself, but in a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, he was kind of like the guy in the charge of the passing game. He was passing game coordinator. Oh, and by the way, he took that offense. This is why this one story about, you know, Drake London's breakout from CBS, if you didn't hear me earlier. CBS was saying Drake London's going to be the breakout guy because the Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson is bringing over. No, it is. Guys, CBS, that's why I always say it slowly, CBS. It isn't the Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson's bringing over. Raheem Morris took the Atlanta Falcons offense, and they took it to L.A., and they said, Jared Goff, as good a quarterback as he is, can't run this Atlanta Falcons offense. We need an elite processor. Therefore, we have to make this massive trade to get an elite processor like Matt Stafford in to run the offense, which they did. And what did they do? Won a Super Bowl. Well, guess what? That's the next level there. And then Raheem comes back over, bringing the Falcons offense back with him. Not Zach Robinson dragging over anything from Sean McVay, but CBS doesn't understand that part of it. They're just not smart enough to figure that out. And when he does, he needs an elite processor to come in and do this. And Michael Penix, as good and as talented as he is, isn't going to be able to process yet NFL defenses as fast as Taylor Heinicke can. And this offense requires, you know, the processing element that Kirk Cousins brings to it. Okay, you have to understand it's not just all about athleticism. You have to have, this is why they said elite processor, this is why Justin Fields is not here, okay? It's elite processor, and what Cousins can do, it's the ability to make the change and the check at the line when the defense shifts and you know what you're going to and what to check into to exploit what the defense is giving you, what Matt Ryan did so beautifully in this offense, especially later in his career. And what Penix is going to have to learn over a year or two of watching Kirk Cousins do it, of watching Taylor Heinicke even do it. And then by the time he does become the quarterback, oh, I got this. I see what they're seeing now, because he's not yet seeing what he's not yet there. He's not processing in the way, because when the bullets fly, so to speak, when it comes to real games, the speed changes, right? And it changes. Preseason isn't enough. Regular season bullets are different because nobody's showing you nothing. And all of a sudden they get into, you put a rookie quarterback out there in game one, and suddenly that defense goes here, here, and you check to it, and then they check back. And you go, oh, wait, they said, no, where am I? That's what Desmond Ridder did. He panicked. He panicked. And he even panicked in week 16, you know, in Carolina in the rain. That's why he threw the ball the way he did in the worst pass ever in the history of the Falcons. Because he panicked. Because he couldn't process. He just is a slow processor. It's not that he's not a talented guy with a big arm. He just can't read things, right? 6-10. I wonder if Tim will have – Tim's called the show before, and he's a passionate fan. And I don't buy that he doesn't have a team. I don't care what you buy, blah, 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 blah. I root for individual. Okay. Yeah, right. I've heard many a swamper say this to me. The point is that – if the Falcons, there's ifs, and ifs, okay? But it's true of everybody. There's certain rosters and certain teams that have been there. I think personally Baltimore is the best team in the NFL. We'll find out over the course of the year. There are other very good teams. But we all understand that the difference, the NFL is an any given Sunday thing. The difference between Baltimore, which is the best team in the league, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see who the worst team in the league is, though it wouldn't shock me at all if teams started tanking to try to get, depending on their love of, or opinion of Shedeur Sanders or Carson Beck, the team started tanking. They won't say that, but you'll start to see them. I'm not really sure who the worst team in the league is right now, because somebody said, well, the Patriots are going to tank this year. I mean, what was the point of going out and getting the quarterback they got in the draft if they're going to tank? And they may be the worst team in the AFC East, but tank? Tank to get what? Another quarterback? They already have one. You know, now if they want to tank and get James Pierce Jr., okay, that's fine. You know, and that may happen, but not for a quarterback. They're not tanking. I mean, I wouldn't think. I mean, unless they're just going to give up on the guy that they just drafted. I can't know this, but maybe they will. All right, quick break. Yeah, nice win for Atlanta United last night. Doubleheader. Literally, Braves played a doubleheader. Atlanta United played a doubleheader. Get it? How about Gregerson last night? 2-1 win over Columbus Crew. So good win for Atlanta United. The badly needed win for Atlanta United to beat the defending champions like that was a real pop for them. And again, the rest of this year is going to be what it is. But for Rob Valentino and his kind of audition as the head coach of Atlanta United, because he's in the mix, a nice victory. All right, your calls here. Three questions on the table. You can go off the board if you like. You can talk about Atlanta United, the Hawks, or the Braves. college football, if you want to jump in. But mostly Falcons today, a little bit of Olympics too. What sport are you looking forward to the most in Olympics? Me, I'm looking forward to gymnastics. I'm really looking forward to both the men's and women's teams to see how they do in gymnastics. I'll be really disappointed if the women don't win gold, because I highly anticipate they will. And hopefully Simone Biles has, you know, a great Olympics Games again. It'll be interesting, you know, with Sha'Carri and Noah Lyles and Simone Biles. Of course, the Olympics always gives us other stars that kind of develop. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the stars that we know in basketball or in, you know, golf or something like that, or tennis. I'm talking about, you know, the other sports. You know, swimming gives us, you know, somebody wins multiple golds kind of thing and gives us a big star. 404-726-0929. And the Falcons here. By the way, the Falcons thing, I should say before I get to Tim here, when I say they're going to have a problem coming out of camp, the team doesn't have a problem, okay? Kirk Cousins is the starter, all right? Kirk is the starter, all right? So it's not a problem for the team. And it's also not a bad problem to have if all of you are going, oh, my God, this Penix guy really is that good. He's got to start. He won't. And it's also not a bad thing that he'd say, oh, my God, he's that good, and we never see him. That's a, because when he got injured last year, Kirk Cousins was leading the NFL in literally every quarterback category. Touchdowns, passing yards, completion percentage, you know, quarterback rating. I mean, he was having a first team all pro kind of season start last year, and then he got injured. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tim, who has been very patient, and I appreciate that. Hey, Tim.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I got a couple of things. The first thing is the beauty of the Olympics is it's the one chance everybody had to show up. Nobody cares about what the narrative was before. You got 2 weeks to be at your best, and we always get to see those who can perform and those who can't, because it's it. This is your one chance. You either do it or you don't. That's the best part about the Olympics. The second part is about the Falcons. And I'm going to say this, and I know you're not going to agree with it. I know that a lot of probably not all the listeners not going to agree with it. The Falcons are a, at best, 6-10 team. Nobody's going to care what Michael Penix does. Nobody's going to care what Kirk Cousins does when the team is fighting for third place in the worst division in the NFL.
All right, who's your team, Tim?
I'm always a player's guy. This year, I think Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl. I think Baltimore.
No, I didn't ask you that, Tim. I asked you who your team is.
I cheer for players. I don't cheer for teams.
Oh, no, stop it! Come on, don't hide behind that, Tim. Everybody cheers for a team.
Let me explain.
No, I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying any of this.
You don't have to buy it, John. It is what it is. The truth is,
you're making me mad, Tim. By the way, you're not okay. Fine, I don't believe you, but okay. Tim, I'm not mad at you.
I care what you believe. But the truth is, John, the truth is, when there stops being loyalty between players and teams, when it's a dude that played for when Bobby Hebert played for the Saints, and everybody in Atlanta hated him, and the next year he came to Atlanta, and everybody in Atlanta loved him, what I thought to myself is, at this point, it's never about the teams. People don't care about the teams. People care about the players. And that's my philosophy. You don't have to agree with it, but you can't deny
no,
it.
No, that's dismiss. Your philosophy. That's fine. I just wondered if you rooted for a team, and I guess the answer is no.
Because
you obviously you're not. I mean, Tim, you're not a Falcons fan. That's for sure.
And you know what it allows me to be. It allows me to be.
Oh
no!
You can't say that. No, Tim. No, you can't stand on some high horse and think you're better than people. That ain't gonna happen.
I never said I was better.
You were about to say it. It allows me to be better than everybody else because I can stand on a podium and I can be unbiased.
What I said is it allows me to be objective. It allows me to come on the radio.
I see. You just did it.
I think Jesse Bates is the second or third best safety in the NFL, bar none. I can say for the last 10 years, I think Grady Jarrett has been the second best defensive tackle in the NFL behind.
All right, you're not telling me anything. Yeah, okay, so that's fine. You're not telling me anything I don't know.
Well,
of course, everybody shares those. But that's not. You're not stretching, Tim. Tim, you're not stretching for that. We all see that.
I can look and say Kirk Cousins, for his career, is 16-47 against winning teams. That's not my opinion. That's a fact.
That's not here. That's not here. That was somewhere else.
He's sick.
He was with the Washington Commanders, for crying out loud, with no talent around. No difference.
What about the Falcons makes you think all of a sudden Drake London is better than Justin Jefferson, who he played with? What about
Bijan Robinson? Bijan Robinson is the second best running back in the NFL. Not named, he's better than every running back not named McCaffrey.
Oh, says who? Says you?
Yes.
Says you just because you said, like I said, your opinions are your opinions. That don't make your opinions fact. The truth
no,
of the
well,
matter
my,
is,
my opinions are based in fact. I mean, I have been watching the NFL and covering the NFL.
Opinion.
Tim, I've been covering the NFL for 45 years. 45 years.
I've been watching the NFL for
okay, you've been watching the NFL. Okay, so where about
that? That doesn't make your opinion more valid than mine.
He doesn't realize I'm talking to him. I appreciate it, Tim. I appreciate your passion. I got to move on. I got other people here. I appreciate Tim's passion. I do. Just tweaking him. I've been following, but they're going to go 6-10. That's what he said, right? Tim, there are 17 games in season. Just okay. I mean, if we're going to predict records here, at least get the number of games right. They went 7-10, then they went 7-10, then they went 7-10, but somehow they're going to go 6-10 this year. Okay. Could they go 6-11? Sure. How do they go 6-11? They get decimated by injuries. And that can happen. That can happen. Can happen to anybody. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs could go 6-11. No, they can't. There's no way. Okay, opening day, Patrick Mahomes breaks his leg, doesn't play for the rest of the year. Oh, that's right. They just went 6-11. Well, but they didn't have Patrick Mahomes. Well, that's not what I said. Okay? Everybody's looking at the Kansas City game in week three going, oh, that's a loss. What if Patrick Mahomes, and I don't wish this on him. I want Patrick to play all year. I want him to play the rest of his career. Injury free. He's a special cat. Love watching him play. I can't wait to have him come to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm just telling you, the NFL is a game where injuries happen. Okay? And the Falcons were decimated by injuries. Look who they lost last year. Right? This is what makes kind of what the Braves are doing somewhat impressive, because they lost, you know, a potential Cy Young winner and the MVP at the beginning of the year, right? I mean, gone. And so they're doing it without those two guys. So, you know, if they were to lose players, this is why Michael Penix, some people say he was drafted as a, you know, well, they drafted him to be an emergency backup. You know, it's a solution we haven't had in a while, which is, you know, since probably Matt Schaub, when Matt Schaub still had kind of his game. Remember Matt Schaub stepping in the one time that Matt Ryan got injured, and Schaub in one game he threw for like 411 yards. Of course, it didn't hurt that Matt Schaub had been the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons in his career. And he was a veteran backup, and of course Penix is not, which is one of the reasons that Taylor Heinicke is still on the team, by the way. It is entirely possible and plausible that Taylor Heinicke will break camp with this team, because just in case anything happens to Kirk Cousins, I want to brace you for this. This is the other part of the Penix story here that you haven't considered yet, and that is that Michael Penix shows out in the preseason here, and you're calling me up, and we got a problem. This guy's going to be great, which I think he's going to be great, but he's going to be great, and okay. Well, if Kirk Cousins goes down, as this one tweeter said, then it's Penix time. Oh, no. I got news for you. Kirk Cousins goes down. The first guy up is not going to be Michael Penix. It's going to be Taylor Heinicke. Why would we do that? Because he's a veteran. He's a veteran quarterback. That's why. And he's played in the NFL. That's why. He'll be first up. Now, I don't know how he does. Why would he be any better? Well, he's got a better coaching staff. He's got a better scheme. You might be surprised how good he is in this scheme. He might do a lot better. Yes, we have two former Washington Redskins / Commanders, whatever the hell they're going to be. They're changing their nickname again. Did you know that? Yeah, they're going to do that. They said so. Redskins, Washington Football Team, Commanders, and now we don't know what they're going to be. So we got two former Redskins quarterbacks, or Washington Football Team or Commanders, whatever. And Michael Penix. So, yeah. Again, now Tim is just spouting off. I've been a football fan and watched for 35 years. Oh, congratulations. The Falcons are a third-place team. Okay. Obviously, you have no idea what you're talking about. There's a reason, Tim, that Raheem Morris is saying Super and Bowl out loud. Out loud. Because he looks at this team, the guy who was in charge of the passing game of the 2016 record-setting offense for the Atlanta Falcons, no matter how that ended, it did end in a Super Bowl, poorly in the game itself, but in a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, he was kind of like the guy in the charge of the passing game. He was passing game coordinator. Oh, and by the way, he took that offense. This is why this one story about, you know, Drake London's breakout from CBS, if you didn't hear me earlier, CBS was saying Drake London's going to be the breakout guy because the Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson is bringing over. No, it is. Guys, CBS, that's why I always say it slowly, CBS. It isn't the Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson's bringing over. Raheem Morris took the Atlanta Falcons offense, and they took it to L.A., and they said, Jared Goff, as good a quarterback as he is, can't run this Atlanta Falcons offense. We need an elite processor. Therefore, we have to make this massive trade to get an elite processor like Matt Stafford in to run the offense, which they did. And what did they do? Won a Super Bowl. Well, guess what? That's the next level there. And then Raheem comes back over, bringing the Falcons offense back with him. Not Zach Robinson dragging over anything from Sean McVay, but CBS doesn't understand that part of it. They're just not smart enough to figure that out. And when he does, he needs an elite processor to come in and do this. And Michael Penix, as good and as talented as he is, isn't going to be able to process yet NFL defenses as fast as Taylor Heinicke can. And this offense requires, you know, the processing element that Kirk Cousins brings to it. Okay, you have to understand it's not just all about athleticism. You have to have, this is why they said elite processor. This is why Justin Fields is not here, okay? It's elite processor, and what Cousins can do, it's the ability to make the change and the check at the line when the defense shifts and you know what you're going to and what to check into to exploit what the defense is giving you, what Matt Ryan did so beautifully in this offense, especially later in his career. And what Penix is going to have to learn over a year or two of watching Kirk Cousins do it, of watching Taylor Heinicke even do it. And then by the time he does become the quarterback, oh, I got this. I see what they're seeing now, because he's not yet seeing what he's not yet there. He's not processing in the way, because when the bullets fly, so to speak, when it comes to real games, the speed changes, right? And it changes. Preseason isn't enough. Regular season bullets are different because nobody's showing you nothing. And all of a sudden they get into, you put a rookie quarterback out there in game one, and suddenly that defense goes here, here, and you check to it, and then they check back. And you go, oh, wait, they said, no, where am I? That's what Desmond Ridder did. He panicked. He panicked. And he even panicked in week 16, you know, in Carolina in the rain. That's why he threw the ball the way he did in the worst pass ever in the history of the Falcons. Because he panicked. Because he couldn't process. He just is a slow processor. It's not that he's not a talented guy with a big arm. He just can't read things, right? 6-10. I wonder if Tim will have – Tim's called the show before, and he's a passionate fan. And I don't buy that he doesn't have a team. I don't care what you buy, blah, 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 blah. I root for individual. Okay. Yeah, right. I've heard many a swamper say this to me. The point is that – if the Falcons, there's ifs, and ifs, okay? But it's true of everybody. There's certain rosters and certain teams that have been there. I think personally Baltimore is the best team in the NFL. We'll find out over the course of the year. There are other very good teams. But we all understand that the difference, the NFL is an any given Sunday thing. The difference between Baltimore, which is the best team in the league, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see who the worst team in the league is, though it wouldn't shock me at all if teams started tanking to try to get, depending on their love of, or opinion of Shedeur Sanders or Carson Beck, the team started tanking. They won't say that, but you'll start to see them. I'm not really sure who the worst team in the league is right now, because somebody said, well, the Patriots are going to tank this year. I mean, what was the point of going out and getting the quarterback they got in the draft if they're going to tank? And they may be the worst team in the AFC East, but tank? Tank to get what? Another quarterback? They already have one. You know, now if they want to tank and get James Pierce Jr., okay, that's fine. You know, and that may happen, but not for a quarterback. They're not tanking. I mean, I wouldn't think. I mean, unless they're just going to give up on the guy that they just drafted. I can't know this, but maybe they will. All right, quick break, top of the hour. The problem the Falcons are facing here is a problem. It's a really good problem to have, but it's going to be a perception problem. As we go to camp this week and camp opens, the first order of business that everybody will see in highlights, what you'll see at Seckinger High, what you'll see at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and what you'll see in the preseason is that the guy you drafted to not play is really, really good. even if Tim doesn't understand that yet. On Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.